Live from historic downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, home of founding father James Wilson, 19th century hymn writer George Duffield, 19th century gospel minister George Norcross, and sports legend Jim Thorpe, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now here's your host, Chris Arnson.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth, who are listening via live streaming at IronSharpensIronRadio.com. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Monday on this ninth day of January 2023. I'm thrilled to have back on the program an old friend of mine, Mac Tomlinson, who is an author, a conference speaker, and pastor at Providence Chapel in Denton, Texas. And we're actually going to have a Mac Tomlinson two-day marathon. We are going to have Mac on today and tomorrow, God willing, to discuss part one and part two of the testing and temptation of Jesus Christ in the wilderness. And Mac Tomlinson is not only the pastor of Providence Chapel in Denton, Texas, but he is also going to be a featured speaker at the upcoming 2023 Fellowship Conference New York, to be held at the church where I was formerly a member before moving to Pennsylvania, Grace Reformed Baptist Church of Merrick, Long Island, New York. This is going to be a conference sponsored by Christ Fellowship of Patchogue, Long Island, who are using the facilities of Grace Reformed Baptist Church in Merrick. But it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, my dear friend Mac Tomlinson.
Hey, Chris, good to be back with you as always.
And I want to take this time again to thank you from the bottom of my heart to reaching out with my oldest brother, John, who was in the hospital about a year ago, I guess it was. He was getting ready to leave this planet and enter into eternity due to critical stage emphysema and cancer and pneumonia. And you reached out to my brother and ministered to him. I know that the hospital was not that far from where you live. And I believe that God used that ministry to my brother to open up his mind, his heart, his eyes, and his ears to the gospel. And I have nothing but confidence that he believed in and embraced and trusted in the true Christ of Scriptures and the true gospel of the Holy Scriptures before leaving this planet. And I believe with the uttermost confidence that he is now in the loving, eternal embrace of our Lord, God, Savior, and King for all eternity now. And I want to thank you again for reaching out to him. Not only for the fact that I believe God used you to bring him to a saving understanding of Christ, but it also gave me an enormous added measure, an infinitely added measure of peace and trust and confidence that my brother is indeed saved.
Thank you, Chris, very much.
And so before we go into the conference, Fellowship Conference New York, and also the theme we are addressing today, the testing and temptation of Jesus Christ in the wilderness. Tell our listeners about Providence Chapel in Denton, Texas.
I'm sorry, did you ask me to tell you about Providence Chapel in Denton?
That's exactly what I did, yeah.
Yeah, we're a Reformed Baptistic congregation in Denton, which is a university town of about 130,000. 30 miles north of Dallas in Fort Worth. We've been here 22 years. And our congregation loves the Word of God, loves the gospel, loves missions, and loves people. And I welcome anyone who lives in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, especially north of Dallas, in the whole northern part of the Metroplex here, to check us out. ProvidenceDenton.org is our website. That's ProvidenceDenton.org. And we hope you'll visit us if you're looking for a church in the North Dallas, North Fort Worth area, or if you're ever visiting in the area, just find us and come and worship with us.
Praise God. Once again, that's ProvidenceDenton.org. And I hope the next time that God's good providence has me in Denton, Texas, because I've only been in Denton, Texas once, that you are actually there at the time. I know that you were traveling on vacation, I believe, when I was at a Bible conference at another church in Denton, and I was hoping to share a time of fellowship with you, but you were out of town. So hopefully the next time I get down there, God willing, I will be able to share fellowship with you. And today we are going to be discussing not only a fascinating passage of the scripture, but also a controversial one, because some of the details of this historic and biblical event have led Christians to disagree on some different areas of doctrine, one of them being the peccability of Christ versus the impeccability of Christ, but that is not our main theme today. Our main theme today is just the story of which would happen and what we are to glean from that story. And first of all, I'd like to read. I'm going to pick Luke's version of this temptation, if you don't mind. And I'm going to read the passage that we are discussing today. And I'll be reading it from the New American Standard Bible. And this is in chapter 4 of Luke. Now Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led around by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. And he ate nothing during those 40 days, and when they had ended, he was hungry. And the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone." And he led him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, "I will give you all this domain and its glory, for it has been handed over to me, and I give it to whomever I want. Therefore, if you worship before me, it shall be yours." Jesus replied to him, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only." And he brought him into Jerusalem and had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he shall give his angels orders concerning you to protect you. And on their hands they will lift you up so that you do not strike your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered and said to him, "It has been stated, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." And so when the devil had finished every temptation, he left him until an opportune time. That was Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 13. Tell us initially why it was that this passage means so much to you that you wanted to discuss it for 2 days on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Well, I guess in a very practical sense, this fall, I think it was back in September, No, it wasn't. It was October, but that's immaterial, really. I spoke on this theme, this passage, which, by the way, is also found in Matthew 4 and Mark 1. This account of Christ's temptation is in all three of the Synoptic Gospels. But I spoke 5 messages on this subject this fall in a conference this year, and as I studied it, it just came alive to me again, and the reality of Christ having to go through this as a man, and really the implications of it, what it means, what it doesn't mean, but especially what it means for believers as a part not only of our redemption, but that Christ as a man is our example in the Christian life in dealing with temptation and overcoming temptation. So it's just a wonderful, somewhat neglected truth that I think many Christians do not either understand enough or don't appreciate enough.
Yes, and one of the things that gives rise to a bit of confusion, I believe, over the very nature of Christ Jesus, the perfect, sinless, completely righteous, blameless, perfectly obedient God-man, the nature of his temptation, people very often import into that story and that concept a common, at least modern, it may have always been used this way as well, the word temptation or the concept of temptation in at least some way. But particularly in our modern thinking, when we hear of somebody being tempted, that normally involves, like for instance, if a woman walks by a man wearing a bikini and he's tempted, he's usually involved in personal sin because he is considering doing something sexually. He's lusting. He may be fantasizing. They're all things going on and that are imported into that word temptation, where the person is considering very seriously and desiring very deeply and passionately to give in to this temptation and to sin in the way that he or she is being tempted. But this is not at all the case with Jesus Christ, the perfect God-man, was it?
Yeah, you're correct. Our temptation as sinful people is not all the same as Christ was tempted, because we know that he was perfect man, but he was truly man. And so Scripture clearly says he was tempted at all points like we are, yet without sin. The difference between Christ's temptation as a man and ours is, I mean, even James says each one of us is tempted when he's carried away and enticed by his own lust. That's James 1:14. Well, so our temptations often come from within, out of a heart of lust, an evil heart of unbelief. But Christ's temptations never came from within, because there was nothing in him that was impure. But he yet was truly tempted by Satan, the enemy, with legitimate temptation that came to him from the outside, because he was truly human and his temptations were legitimate.
And we have that promise given to us, a precious promise in Hebrews 4, verse 15, where we have this promise, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. That last part is the key difference between how Christ was tempted and how we are tempted, since we are fallen creatures, since we do even after our regeneration, even though we're new creatures, we are still dealing with remaining sin while on this earth. And we can never say that our temptations are not tainted with sin, but Jesus Christ was never tainted with sin during his temptations.
Right. And I think because of that, believers know that Jesus Christ was truly God and truly man in every way. And therefore, there's this confusion because the Bible says God cannot tempt men, neither can he be tempted. Therefore, they think so. Jesus could not have been tempted with evil, but he was tempted in his humanity as being one of us. And because of that, he was truly human. And therefore, part of the glory of his becoming our Redeemer and his incarnation, when he took on a human nature and a human body in order to redeem us, he not only was able to be tempted humanly, he had to be tempted because he was becoming one of us to be qualified to be our high priest and our Redeemer. And that's a great mystery that believers need to study more.
Yeah, it also qualified him to be a substitute for us.
Right. But, of course, some of these things we're getting way ahead of ourselves.
Right.
And probably we'll get on some of this stuff tomorrow. And I would encourage all of you who are listening, if you're able to tune in tomorrow, both programs will cover truth that is important to hear both programs and to think about more.
Well, it's interesting right off the bat in the very first verse of chapter 4 of Luke, in his account of what occurred in the wilderness when Jesus was tempted by Satan. It says, "Now Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led around by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil." That seems to be almost a contradiction in terms there, or an oxymoronic event where you have the Holy Spirit leading Christ in the wilderness, and yet he's constantly being tempted for 40 days. Can you explain that?
Yes, it is. It does almost sound like contradiction, but it's not, because each of the gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the synoptic gospels, all say that he was led there by the Holy Spirit to be tempted. That was immediately after his baptism at the Jordan. And in his baptism, he was obeying the Father's direction to be baptized by John. And in that, Jesus was submitting to a sinner's baptism, not because he was a sinner, but he was identifying with sinful people by being baptized. And so right out of his baptism in water, and the Holy Spirit had come upon him, giving him great assurance, the next step before any public ministry, the Father had ordained for Christ, the Son, to go into the wilderness for 40 days to be tempted. In fact, Mark 1:12 uses a stronger word. It says the Holy Spirit drove him into the wilderness. There was this divine compulsion, this great urgency that Christ felt, a strong leading that he was to go into the wilderness. And we don't know all that he knew, but he knew that the Father was leading him there for a divine purpose. And so the Father was leading him there to be tested, not to be tempted where he would, not to be tempted with evil, because only Satan tempts people with sin. God doesn't tempt, but he does allow testing. And this really is a great mystery. I'll share on this a little while until you need a break, Chris, until you interrupt
me. Sure,
go
ahead.
But the reality is Christ as a man, Hebrews addresses this. Christ had to be, he had to be tested. He had to suffer temptation and testing. humanly to pass the test of obedience. He had to go through human experience, and he had to obey the law of God every day of his life. He had to have divine times of testing for his obedience to be worked out and experienced. And so Christ as a man, to qualify as our Redeemer and our High Priest, he had to face the reality of passing the test of obedience. He must be proven as a man. Even Luke says that Jesus grew in wisdom, stature, and favor with God and man. That's speaking about his humanity. As God, he can't grow, but as man, as a true man, his humanity had to grow. And so the Bible says that Christ learned obedience through the things that he suffered. So in one sense, his entire early life was a life of suffering, but his true suffering started officially in a big way in the desert wilderness experience for 40 days as a 30-year-old young man.
And could you tell us if there is, or what, I should say, significance you believe there is in the fact that this was a 40-day temptation? That number sticks out very glaringly, even in the Old Covenant scriptures, the Hebrew scriptures, in regard to the Jews wandering in the wilderness. If you could pick up on any significance between that number.
Well, you know, you're right. That number is found in the Old Testament. The number 40, Israel was in the wilderness 40 years. Moses was on Mount Sinai for 40 days, two different times. Even Elijah, it mentions him running in the strength of one meal for 40 days. So the number 40 is significant, I think, in symbolism of significant times of testing or proving or deep experience in the Old Testament. And it certainly doesn't seem any difference with Christ. It was a divinely ordained period of almost 6 weeks, 40 days, and it was just the purpose of God for Christ the Son to experience a full 40 days of significant temptation, not just by demonic powers, but by Satan himself for 40 days.
And I have heard at least one preacher, a solid preacher, Reformed Baptist, teach that he believes that there is significance in the fact, just as Christ is our second Adam, you have occurrences in the Old Testament where the Israelites, the people of God, failed during a certain season or test by God, and whereas in the New Covenant there is a mirror occurrence or a occurrence that bears a lot of similarity, in which Christ appears to be going through a very clearly similar season of testing, and he is passing with flying colors. Do you see that same kind of imagery there?
Yes, I think that's right. And, you know, this in a way brings up the parallels that are significant with both with Jesus and Adam and Eve, and Jesus and the nation of Israel. It's really significant in some ways. And just briefly, think about the parallels between Adam and Christ. The first time Satan tempted man was in the garden with Adam and Eve in a perfect paradise. And Adam and Eve quickly fell that test in the garden. And Jesus, Adam and Eve were in paradise. Satan comes. Jesus is in the wilderness and Satan comes. So Satan tempted the first man, Adam, and Adam fell. And here in the middle of history, Satan comes to tempt the last man, the last Adam, Christ, not in a paradise, but in a wilderness. It's dark. Out wild animals, dangerous animals are around. Jesus is alone. Satan comes again. And so there is clearly a parallel between Adam and Christ, but also Israel and Christ. For instance, Israel is called God's son in Exodus 4. Christ is the perfect son, the son of God. Israel was led in the wilderness in Deuteronomy 6, Deuteronomy 8. The Lord Jesus was led to the wilderness to be tempted. Israel was tested in the wilderness. Christ was tested in the wilderness. Israel for 40 years and they failed. Christ for 40 days and he passed the test. And Chris, it's interesting that in all three of the temptations that are recorded in the Gospels, the book that Jesus quoted every time, quoted back to Satan, was from the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 8, Deuteronomy 6. And so this is the book that God gave Israel to in the wilderness, the book of Deuteronomy. And that's the book that Jesus quotes Satan in his wilderness temptation, because Christ said the first temptation, Christ answers Satan, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And there's something significant about Christ saying to Satan, man shall not live by bread alone. He's not only directly quoting Deuteronomy, but in a sense, Christ is saying to Satan, I'm facing you here as the last man, as the last Adam, as a true man, and not just as God. So this was very significant.
We do have time for one question before we go to our first station break. We have Ramon in Metro Manila in the Philippines who has a question. And let me get to that. And I was just looking at it a second ago. Oh, here it is. What kind of fast was Christ on? Was it a water fast?
The Gospels, thank you for the question, by the way. The Gospels do not say that he did not drink water. We don't know. It only says that he did not eat and he was hungry. But Matthew, Mark, and Luke do not record anything about water, that he fasted from water. It says afterward he was hungry, and then he ate food. It doesn't say that he fasted from water and he was thirsty.
Yeah, not, and the devil's temptation didn't even involve water. It involved turning stone into bread.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Well, thank you, Ramon, and keep listening to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and spreading the word about the program in the Philippines and beyond. We're going to go to our first station break, and if anybody else has a question for Mac Tomlinson on the temptation and testing of Jesus Christ in the wilderness, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name at least, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Mac Tomlinson after these messages.
James White of Alpha Mega Ministries here. I'm very excited to announce that my longtime friend Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and I are heading down to Atlanta, Georgia again for the G3 National Conference. That's Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd, on a theme that I've been preaching, teaching, writing about, and defending in live public debates for most of my life, The Sovereignty of God. I'll be joined on the speaking roster by Steve Lawson, Vody Balcom, Paul Washer, Virgil Walker, Scott Annual, and Josh Bice, founder of G3 Ministries. And there's more great news. Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio can get you a 30% discount off the registration fee. Go to g3min.org, that's g3min.org, and enter promo code G3ISIR. That's G3ISIR for the 30% discount. Chris Arnson, I look forward to seeing you all Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd for the G3 National Conference in Atlanta, Georgia on the Sovereignty of God. Make sure you stop by the Iron Sharpens Iron radio exhibitor booth and say hi to Chris Arnson while you're there. Go to g3min.org and enter promo code G3ISIR for your 30% discount off the registration fee.
Have you noticed the gap that exists between the Sunday morning sermon and the Sunday school classroom or the small group study? So often we experience great preaching from the pulpit, but when it comes time to study God's word in those smaller settings, well, let's be honest, it leaves a lot to be desired. It seems like it is nearly impossible to find good curriculum out there today that is true to the word of God and is built upon sound doctrine. Much less, it's hard to find curriculum that will actually teach people how to study the Bible. Hi there, my name is Jordan Tu, and I am the executive director of the Baptist Publishing House. Our ministry is dedicated to providing local churches with sound Bible study resources. Our quarterly curriculum is titled The Baptist Expositor, and for a good reason. We are Baptist, and we exegete the Scriptures. If you want to have a curriculum that teaches your people how to study the Word of God, I invite you, go to our website, download a free study, BaptistPublishingHouse.com. May God bless you.
If you're near retirement or thinking about retiring, you probably have questions. How do you make your savings last? How much should you take out and when? You're ready for retirement, but are your finances? Art Amundson, an Edward Jones financial advisor, can help you build a strategy to help make sure your finances keep up with your long-term needs. Do what it takes to get there. Now it's time to make the most of retirement. Visit edwardjones.com. That's edwardjones.com. Or call 717-258-4688. 717-258-4688. We here at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio are forever grateful for the generous financial support of Art Amundson, Edward Jones financial advisor in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Call 717-258-4688 today.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Well, When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Ironworks, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens Jr. of the Church at Friendship in Hockley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth Love Parent and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth Love Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
Here at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, praise God for the generous monthly financial support of Royal Diadem Jewelers, educated by and affiliated with the American Gem Society, Jewelers of America, and the Gemological Institute of America. For the perfect custom-designed engagement ring or any one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry created exactly according to your imagination and specifications, Royal Diadem Jewelers has you covered. No matter where you live in the world, Royal Diadem will walk you step by step through every stage of the process and even hold a high-tech internet virtual visit using state-of-the-art jewelry design technology to serve you. They start by listening carefully to determine your needs. They're interested in making what you want, not what they want to sell you. From rough design to digital model, to photorealistic image, to wax prototype model, to the finished product, they're continually listening to your input, likes and dislikes, making any changes necessary along the way. This will ensure that your custom jewelry will turn out exactly as you dreamed and well beyond your expectations. Visit royaldiadem.com. That's royaldiadem.com today. Sterling Vanderwerker, owner of Royal Diadem Jewelers, his wife Bronnie, his business partner and manager Brian Wilson, and the entire family thank you all for listening to, praying for, and supporting the work of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, folks, RoyalDiadem.com is still offering Iron Sharpens Iron Radio an amazing offer. They are giving us 100% of the profits, for a limited time only, from every sale to an Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listener of $100 or more. So if you go to royaldiadem.com and you purchase a piece of jewelry they already have in stock valued at $100 or more, or if you have a custom designed piece of jewelry created, like an engagement ring or like turning your church logo, your parachurch ministry logo, your seminary logo into a one-of-a-kind piece of gorgeous jewelry, or anything else that your creativity and imagination can conjure up, we will get 100% of the profits if you mention Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Zion Radio. We have no idea how long they are going to extend this opportunity to us. We don't know when they are going to tell us to pull the plug on this offer. So I'm just urging you, if you have any intention to purchase jewelry, whether it's for Valentine's Day or whether it's a gift for yourself or anybody else that you love for any occasion, go to royaldiadem.com as soon as possible so that we are further insured to get 100% of the profits from the sale. And that's royaldiadem.com. And either purchase the jewelry or start the process of getting your custom designed jewelry created. And always mention Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. That's royaldiadem.com. We're now back with our guest today, Mac Tomlinson, pastor of Providence Chapel in Denton, Texas. This is part one of a two-part discussion we are having today and tomorrow on the testing and temptation of Jesus Christ in the wilderness. Our email address, if you have any questions, is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name at least, your city and state, and your country of residence. And Mac, if you could pick up where we left off on other significant things you want us to know about this very important historic and biblical occurrence in the scriptures.
Yeah, thanks, Chris. You know, I think also alluded to this a little bit, but, you know, God's ways are not our ways, the Bible says. Most people would think, just on a surface level, well, surely after Jesus' baptism, when he receives a great anointing of the Holy Spirit and he receives this assurance from his Father in heaven, surely isn't that the right time to go right into public ministry? But it wasn't. What was needed before any public ministry at all, before any miracle, any sermon, Christ must go through this wilderness experience to bring a level of human experience in relation to temptation and testing that he had never had before. And so as you read those gospel accounts at the end of the temptation, then he comes forth in the power of the Holy Spirit to begin his public ministry. So times of testing and suffering are just essential, not only in the life of Jesus, but in the life of every Christian. And I'll talk more about that tomorrow. But so I think, you know, it's just good for us to think now about some of the aspects, the major aspects of this temptation experience. And the first just has to do really with the timing of the testing. And I've been alluding to that. The timing of this is significant because it was right after a glorious time of Jesus' public ministry beginning. He comes forth to the Jordan River. So he's leaving home, the carpenter shop, as a 30-year-old. Entering into his Father's public calling for him. He's baptized by John. He's anointed of the Holy Spirit. He receives great assurance. So Jesus goes to this wilderness temptation right out of a time of victory, a time of messianic fulfillment, a time of encouragement and empowering. And it was then, after a time of great encouragement, that the devil comes to him to tempt him for 40 days. And there's a real spiritual lesson there for any Christian. And this is it, that great times of blessing or encouragement or personal revival or seasons of God doing wonderful things in the Christian's life, those good times do not insulate us from times of testing or spiritual warfare. Wonderful times of spiritual experience, times of refreshing, are no guarantee that we will not soon experience dark times that are hard. Hard times can follow wonderful times. And remember, it was after the positive and encouraging things recorded about Job, that he was the most righteous man in the earth. He had great wealth. God had greatly blessed him. He had 10 children, a wonderful family. And he was the greatest man in the earth. After Job 1 tells us that, it's then that Satan is allowed by God to test and try Job. So if we have good seasons and then hard times come, it shouldn't make us doubt that God's with us. It shouldn't make us doubt him. It shouldn't make us begin to wonder, is God with me? And if he is, why are these hard things happening? Is God punishing me? Surely he's punishing me for my sin somehow, or I wouldn't be growing through this. And the truth is, the godliest Christians, the obedient Christian, can go through severe times, and God is allowing it for their good. And this is important to remember.
Could it be rightly said that if a Christian is not being tempted, going through a season of trial that involves temptation of the devil, that he is probably not worth that much in the kingdom of God, if indeed he is not experiencing this, because the devil already knows this person is acting upon his own depraved nature enough to sin on his own accord without any of my tempting being necessary. Could that rightly be said?
Well, I think that certainly has truth in it. No question about that. You know, it would do every Christian a lot of good to study in the New Testament closely all the passages about temptation and testing and trials and hardships. I mean, think of what James 1, 2 through 4 says. James says to these believers, to the 12 tribes, he says, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. But let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. So trials and testing and hardships and suffering are a huge truth in the New Testament. A lot of the material in the whole New Testament deals with this subject, that every believer will go through sufferings and trials and testing and temptation. And the Lord Jesus Christ did more than any of us. So if we're going to be made like Christ as a believer, we're going to suffer some of the things, same things that he did. It's certainly true.
We have a listener, Arnie in Perry County, Pennsylvania, who asks, I know that Mel Gibson's movie, The Passion of the Christ, was a combination of biblical references and sources and those of a Roman Catholic mystic. So I know that we have to look at this movie with great suspicion if we look at it at all. But I was wondering if you agree with the interpretation that Gibson had in the movie, where the devil was actually he was infuriated after the death of Christ because he knew that the payment for the penalty of sin for his people was made. Yeah, that's an interesting question, because we know that the devil is not omniscient, but there are certain things he did know and that demons know. We have that reference of Christ and the demoniac, where the demoniac says, "Have you come to torment us before the time?" There obviously was some kind of a eschatological knowledge of that, experience. So what is your opinion on that? I mean, and we have almost a suicidal aspect of this on the devil's part, if indeed he knew what Christ's death would complete as far as redemption. We have a suicidal aspect of it in that Judas himself had a devil enter into him. So what do you make of that?
Well, the first thing I would say is no theology should be built on Mel Gibson's movie, The Passion of the Christ, at all. And we certainly should not try to think what to believe about Satan's response to the cross from any movie, because we simply can't know what Satan's direct response was to Christ's death on the cross. We know he was trying to get Christ to sin in the temptation. We know that Satan entered Judas Iscariot to get Christ betrayed. So we certainly know that Satan was trying to defeat God's purpose. Beyond that, we cannot say. You know, Colossians 2 comes to my mind when you think about the death on the cross and Christ disarming the enemy. Colossians 2, 14 and 15, Paul says about the work of Christ, that the work of Christ canceled out the debt of certificate of death consisting of degrees against us, which was hostile to us, and he's taking it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. When he, that is God in Christ, had disarmed the rulers and authorities, he made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through the cross. So we know the cross definitively and permanently defeated the works of the devil and disarmed principalities and powers and conquered the death of Christ, conquered death totally. So we do know the death of the cross conquered Satan and all evil and ultimately destroyed the works of the devil. We know the manifestation of that in time and space and history will not come until the second coming. But in essence, we should never get our thoughts about Satan or Christ or truth from any movie, strictly from the Bible, especially from the New Testament.
And we have to go to our midway break right now. Please be patient with us. It's a longer than normal break because Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, requires of us a longer break in the middle of the show so that they can localize geographically Iron Sharpens Iron Radio to Lake City, Florida, according to the FCC requirements. While they do that, we air our globally heard commercials. Try to respond to our advertisers as much as possible so that they will more likely renew their advertising contracts, which we need to survive, folks. So don't go away. We're going to be right back after these messages with more of Mac Tomlinson.
James White of Alpha Mega Ministries here. I'm very excited to announce that my longtime friend Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and I are heading down to Atlanta, Georgia again for the G3 National Conference. That's Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd, on a theme that I have been preaching, teaching, writing about, and defending in live public debates for most of my life, the sovereignty of God. I'll be joined on the speaking roster by Steve Lawson, Bodie Balcom, Paul Washer, Virgil Walker, Scott Annual, and Josh Bice, founder of G3 Ministries. And there's more great news. Chris Ironson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio can get you a 30% discount off the registration fee. Go to g3min.org. That's g3min.org and enter promo code G3ISIR. That's G3ISIR for the 30% discount. Chris Ironson and I look forward to seeing you all Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd for the G3 National Conference in Atlanta, Georgia on the sovereignty of God. Make sure you stop by the Iron Sharpens Iron radio exhibitor booth and say hi to Chris Ironson while you're there. Go to g3min.org and enter promo code G3ISIR for your 30% discount off the registration fee.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
This is Daryl Bernard Harrison, co-host of the Just Thinking Podcast, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tom Buck, a First Baptist Church in Lindale, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Kent Keller of Faith Bible Church in Sharpsburg, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Andrew Rappaport, the founder and executive director at Striving for Eternity Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Mark Romaldi, pastor of Sovereign Grace Church of Greenbrier, Tennessee, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Christopher Cookston, pastor of Prineville Community Church in Prineville, Oregon, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Matt Tarr, pastor of High Point Baptist Church in Larksville, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Ironson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to NASBible.com. That's NASBible.com to place your order.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Ironson is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written Word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the Gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth Love Parent and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth Love Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor. Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio has had a longtime partnership with our friends at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. They specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable for everyone. CVBBS has been a family-owned book service since 1987, operating out of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. They seek to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available or popular because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting materials promoted by the secular book vendors. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Order online at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Or you can order by phone at 1-800-656-0231. That's 1-800-656-0231. Please let our friends at CVBBS know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnson and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, Professor of Apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com, and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And please never forget, folks, to make solid-ground-books.com your very first stop for all your gift-giving needs. They bring back into print and also publish for the first time nothing but the very finest in Christian literature dating back to the Protestant Reformation and extending forward to our present day, including such modern-day authors as Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. At solid-ground-books.com, and I believe Mike Gadosh, the founder of Solid Ground Christian Books, was the very first person to introduce me to the work and ministry of my guest today, Mac Tomlinson. I know that you have a high regard for Solid Ground Christian Books. Mac, you have a couple of words to say about this fine ministry?
Yeah, Michael Gadosh is a marvelous, godly Christian man, high integrity, loves Christ, loves the Word of God, loves the Church of God, loves the Kingdom of God, and he loves great Christian literature. And God has used him wonderfully over the decades to bless the Church of Christ through wonderful books. So I encourage everyone to use Solid Ground Christian Books this year as much as you can. They have a wonderful ministry.
Yes, thank you, Mac. And that's solid-ground-books.com. Purchase frequently from them, purchase generously from them, and always mention that you heard about them from Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Before I return to my discussion with Mac Tomlinson, I just have a couple more very important announcements to make. Folks, We are really hurting badly financially here at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We have never bounced back from our finances plummeting after the coronavirus hysteria swept across the globe. The giving to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio from our listeners plummeted to an all-time low, and we've never bounced back. I'm assuming that a lot of our listeners have suffered financially because of the overreach of both federal and local governments and their mandates, unconstitutional, very often mandates that ruined the incomes of individuals, even closed the businesses of individuals permanently. I'm assuming that has something to do with it because the giving to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio has, as I said, plummeted to an all-time low, and we've never bounced back. We need your help financially. If you love this show and you don't want it to disappear, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You can donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion. And if you care to use snail mail the old-fashioned way, mailing a physical check to a physical address, there will be a physical address that also appears on your screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can mail your checks made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. If you want to advertise with us, whether it's your church, whether it is your parachurch organization, business, private practice, like a medical practice or a law firm, or whether it's just a special event that you are involved in that you want to promote, as long as whatever it is you're promoting is compatible with what I believe, you don't have to believe identically with me, but you need to be promoting something compatible with what I believe. Please, I'm urging you to go to ironsharpensironradio.com and look up the contact information there where you can advertise, and you can also just email me that request to advertise at chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. One thing I want to remind you is that I never want any of our listeners to give their own church where you are a member less money because you are blessing us with a gift. Don't cut into the giving to your own local church that you have set aside to give to your church in obedience to Christ every Sunday. Don't cut into that money to give us a gift. Also, if you are really struggling to survive and make ends meet, please wait until you are back on your feet and more financially stable before you send us a financial gift. Those two things are commands of God in Scripture, providing for your church and your family. Providing for my radio show is obviously not a command. But if you love the show and you don't want it to disappear, go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Also, folks, if you are not a member of a Christ-honoring, biblically faithful, doctrinally solid, theologically sound church like Providence Chapel in Denton, Texas, no matter where on the planet Earth you live, I have extensive lists of biblically faithful churches spanning the globe, and I have helped many people in our audience in all parts of the world find churches, sometimes within just a couple of minutes from where they live. And that may be you, too, if you don't have a faithful church home. Send me an email address to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address where you could send in a question to Mac Tomlinson, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and give us your first name, at least, your city and state and country of residence. And Mac, if you could pick up on some more of these essential truths that you have gleaned from the temptation and testing of Christ in the wilderness.
Thank you, Chris. You know, Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 12 and 13, give a summary statement about Christ's temptation. Matthew's account in Matthew 4 and Luke's account in Luke 4 give a much more extended account. But Mark 1:13 says that Jesus was in the wilderness 40 days being tempted by Satan. So this means Satan himself was the tempter, not just demons. And so Satan has showed up in the wilderness to tempt Christ. And he apparently, obviously, unleashes all of his fiendish wiles and temptations on the Savior over 40 days. And we know the word Satan is not really a name as much as it is a title. In fact, it's literally translated the Satan, which means adversary. The word devil, he's also called. Devil means accuser or slanderer. And we also know that the Apostle Paul said that he disguises himself at times as an angel of light. So Satan himself comes, the adversary, the accuser, the slanderer. And even as an angel of light, quoting scripture, one, does he come to Jesus in the wilderness? He comes to attack the sonship of Christ. He says twice, if you are the Son of God. So he comes to attack Christ's sonship. He comes to tempt Christ to not trust his heavenly Father, or to tempt him to depart from Christ's proper path of obedience. He tries to deceive him religiously by quoting scripture. He wants Jesus to presume on the Father's goodness by jumping off the pinnacle of the temple. In other words, Satan wants Jesus to choose the path of self and self-centeredness rather than his Father's purpose. He wants Jesus, to use the Apostle John's terms, to give in to the lust of the world, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Even though Jesus doesn't have lust within him, Satan wants to tempt him to choose that path. In essence, Satan's purpose with Christ in the wilderness is the same with us. He wanted Jesus to sin against God like Adam and Eve had sinned in the garden. Adam and Eve were under divine law. You know, you shall not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the day you eat thereof, you will surely die. And Adam and Eve disobeyed that one law, to not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So they disobeyed that one law. Jesus, he was the lawgiver himself. Jesus knew the entire law. So he didn't have just one law to obey. Jesus had come as a man to live under the law perfectly, and he did. And he came to fulfill it. So Jesus faced severe temptation to disobey God's law and his will. And the timing of this, as I started out saying, is in the wilderness after Jesus' baptism, before his public ministry was to start. That was the timing. The second thing, major thing, that I would point out is the setting of the temptation. And I've already alluded a little bit about this somewhat, but I want to go into it more. As some have suggested, that it was the Sinai Desert, down where the children of Israel wandered. Well, I studied in Israel in 1976, and I remember I traveled down from Jerusalem to Sinai. It was a 6-hour ride by car. And so if Jesus went to the Sinai, it would have been many days' journey. I mean, that could have been the case that he did that. Another possible desert wilderness area would have maybe been Jericho, much closer to Nazareth than Jerusalem. But we don't know which wilderness area it was, and we don't really need to know. What we do know, need to know, is what characterized the wilderness setting. In any biblical setting of the wilderness, then, there would have been no food or vegetation. It would have been very isolating. There were no cities. So this would have been a time of Jesus being absolutely alone. And from the time the sun went down, utterly dark. I mean, the Gospels say there were wild animals there. And these would have been dangerous ones. We know in the Bible there would have been jackals, hyenas, wolves, bears, lions, probably. And these animals would have been dangerous ones. That's why the Gospels say that there were wild animals there. So it would have been a setting that Jesus, as a man, in his human weakness of hunger, he would have felt the horror and danger and the fearfulness of the situation. But he didn't avoid it or run from it. He faced it, and he never gave in to the temptation of being afraid, even though he felt that. So what does the wilderness represent to us? It represents an hour of severe darkness, an hour that Satan's horrible attack for 40 days was unleashed on the Savior. Now, Matthew, Mark, and Luke all address this differently. Matthew says Christ went into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Mark says he was in the wilderness tempted by Satan. Luke says being tempted for 40 days. So all three writers say the same thing, but they say it in different ways. Now, the question could be asked, was Satan physically somehow present, or Jesus could see some manifestation of Satan? Where Satan appeared in some physical form, we don't know. Was it purely a spiritual attack on his mind, his spirit, his emotions? We don't fully know that. We know it was that, at least a deeply spiritual attack. But what we do know is this, though we don't know how Satan manifested himself, he was truly there. It was a real wilderness. It was a real alone time for the Savior. It was an extremely prolonged period of fasting. There was real physical weakness, a real conflict, and real temptations. So this would have been an incredible supernatural experience, never experienced before by Jesus, and really never experienced afterward until Gethsemane and the cross.
We have an anonymous listener who says, how do you respond to somebody who is going through an arduous, horrific trial in their life, and when they are reminded of this story of which you speak, they say, yeah, but I'm not Jesus? How do you respond to people like that who are basically saying that the temptations that Jesus experienced were less horrific and trying because of the fact that he was not only man, but God as well?
Well, that's a great question. But the reality is that when we are tempted as sinful human beings, normally we would give in to temptation before the temptation ever reached its height and its strongest power. In other words, people give in to temptation often at the beginning of a temptation or midway through. And so, but Jesus, rather than not knowing the depth of our temptation, he experienced the power of temptation more than any human being ever did. And so he doesn't know less of human temptation. He experienced more human temptation than we ever do, because he faced the full brunt of every temptation as a true human being. And he felt the temptation, and he never gave in one time. So Christ fully understands our temptations because he experienced them fully, not just as God. He wasn't tempted as God, though he was God all of his earthly life. He experienced full temptation as a human being, which means he suffered under it. He felt it. The Bible says in Hebrews that Jesus was tempted in every way like we are. At every point, he was tempted in life like we are, yet without sin. So he has faced the severity of temptation more than any of us ever have, and he's faced more temptation in his 33 years on earth than we ever have. So the fact that Christ understands as a human being, and he's now our sympathizing high priest, when we are tempted, we need to remind ourselves, Jesus, our great high priest in heaven, understands because he went through it. And therefore, he sympathizes with me more than anybody else can. He understands fully what I'm going through. And another truth that helps us is 1 Corinthians 10, 13. The Apostle Paul says, there has no temptation overtaken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but he will with the temptation also provide a way of escape so that you will be able to endure it. So to the person who asked the question, Jesus was tempted in ways that we never have been as a true human being like us. So he alone understands our temptations better than anyone because he's been through them.
Yes. And even when he was tested in the Garden of Gethsemane, with having a choice before him to have the cup of God's wrath passed away from him, a lot of people don't realize he was not merely fearing a torturous execution, an execution that countless thousands of ordinary human beings had experienced before and after him. He was experiencing the dread of having the wrath of his Father poured upon him, which no Christian will ever experience. Am I right?
Exactly right. Yes. And tomorrow, on tomorrow's program, I think we'll get into the nature of temptation and the difference between temptation and being tested, and the fact, and we'll talk about Christ's temptation. You know, the impeccability of Christ. You know, as God, he couldn't have sinned, but as a human being, he could truly be tempted, and what that truly means. And the fact is, Chris, you referred to Gethsemane and the battle that he had there. When you read the Gethsemane experience about our Savior, he really did not want to drink that cup that the Father was going to have him drink, and he even prayed, Father, if there's any way, let this cup pass from me. I don't want to have to drink it. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Christ felt the horror of that as a man, and he emotionally, psychologically, he didn't want to go through it. He didn't want to have to experience it. So we can relate to him in ways that are very real because he is a sympathizing Savior who still a human being. He's the God-man in heaven. He still is a truly God and truly man as our heavenly high priest, and he understands.
We have another anonymous listener who says, I am doing battle constantly with liberals who try to explain away supernatural truths in the scriptures. One of them is the existence of a real devil. I was wondering if you could clarify once again what you meant by the statement that you didn't know for certain whether or not the temptation of Christ in the wilderness was an assault upon his psyche. Obviously, it may have been that or included that, but it was definitely an assault coming from a literal devil. Yes, that is obviously true, and I know you believe that, Mac. In fact, in Luke's account in chapter 4, verses 13, it says, and so when the devil had finished every temptation, he left him until an opportune time, which is an evidence that this was a real being that was doing the tempting.
Right. I certainly wasn't saying that Satan was not a real being. He's a literal being, no doubt, and he was literally there. What I was trying to say is we aren't told if he had some kind of physical, visible manifestation, or if he was there in an invisible way. We don't know how he came to Jesus in terms of that aspect. I mean, we don't know how Satan came to Job and afflicted him. We don't know if he came physically or just invisibly, but we know with Job and we know with the Lord Jesus, Satan was present. We just don't know what form he manifested himself to Christ in the wilderness.
Now, when you said physically, did you really mean visibly? Because can Satan actually take upon a physical body?
Well, again,
I guess he could enter. He could enter somebody's body. That's true.
Yeah, right. He entered Judas, and you know, he can disguise himself as an angel of light, and so he has some form. We just don't know always how he manifests himself. Whether that's some physical form or some appearance in some way physically, we just don't know. The Bible doesn't give us much insight into that at all.
Yeah, we have to be careful not to interpret as God-breathed truth the artwork that we're all familiar with when we've seen not only in film but in illustrations and paintings. The story that we're discussing of Jesus being tempted, there's usually some ominous figure standing there, either in the traditional way with horns or just a cloaked figure, or, you know, all kinds of ways that this evil one, the prince of darkness, has been conveyed in various forms of media. We can't take that, confuse that with what the Bible says.
Right.
Well, we are going to go ahead. I'm sorry.
Another thing I would just point out is that in the Gospels do say that Satan was there for 40 days. But Matthew and Luke give their accounts of the three temptations, the three specific temptations, which we'll probably get into tomorrow. It would be easy to think that Satan just tempted Jesus three times in those three ways that Matthew and Luke mention, the turning the stones into bread and the jumping from the pinnacle of the temple and the temptation that if Jesus would fall in and worship Satan, he'd be given all the kingdoms of the world and everything. Those three temptations are mentioned by Matthew and Luke. It would be easy to think there were just three specific temptations, but that's not the case.
Right, that's an excellent point. It's probably 20 times more than that, at least, because he was being tempted by the devil for 40 days.
Right, so we just only catch a little glimpse of the horrendous experience. And when we read the gospel accounts of the wilderness temptation, we just need to meditate on it and realize what it would have meant for Satan himself, who so hated the Lord and so wanted to attack him. And Satan would have unleashed all his arsenal against the Savior. It would have been 40 days of horrendous experience for the Savior. Well, and that, coupled with the fact that he didn't eat for 40 days, he was left so weak at the end of it, so weak that the angels had to come and strengthen him and minister to him.
That's right. Well, we have to go to our final break. It's going to be more brief than the other breaks. If you have a question, send it in immediately because we're rapidly running out of time. It's chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com is our email address. First name, at least, city and state and country of residence. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Thank you. Dr. Joseph Piper, President Emeritus and Professor of Systematic and Applied Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Every Christian who's serious about the Reformed faith and the Westminster Standards should have and use the 8-volume commentary on the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity by Dr. Joseph Moorcraft. It is much more than an exposition of the Larger Catechism. It is a thoroughly researched work that utilizes biblical exegesis as well as historical and systematic theology. Dr. Moorcraft is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and I urge everyone looking for a biblically faithful church in that area to visit that fine congregation. For details on the 8-volume commentary, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. For details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Please tell Dr. Moorcraft and the saints at Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, that Dr. Joseph Piper of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary sent you.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how He shall be worshipped and how He shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God. Singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Today at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ, staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333, or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
James White of Alpha Mega Ministries here. I'm very excited to announce that my longtime friend Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and I are heading down to Atlanta, Georgia again for the G3 National Conference. That's Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd, on a theme that I have been preaching, teaching, writing about, and defending in live public debates for most of my life, the sovereignty of God. I'll be joined on the speaking roster by Steve Lawson, Bodie Balcom, Paul Washer, Virgil Walker, Scott Annual, and Josh Bice, founder of G3 Ministries. And there's more great news. Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio can get you a 30% discount off the registration fee. Go to g3min.org, that's g3min.org, and enter promo code G3ISIR. That's G3ISIR for the 30% discount. Chris Arnson, I look forward to seeing you all Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd. The G3 National Conference in Atlanta, Georgia, on the sovereignty of God. Make sure you stop by the Iron Sharpens Iron radio exhibitor booth and say hi to Chris Arnson while you're there. Go to g3min.org and enter promo code G3ISIR for your 30% discount off the registration fee.
Such a blessing to hear from Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners from all over the world. Here's Joe Riley, a listener in Ireland, who wants you to know about a guest on the show he really loves hearing interviewed, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
I'm Joe Riley, a faithful Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener here in Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, going back to 2005. One of my very favorite guests on Iron Sharpens Iron is Dr. Joe Moorcraft. If you've been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Moorcraft and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, are largely to thank, since they are one of the program's largest financial supporters. Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming is in Forsyth County, a part of the Atlanta metropolitan area. Heritage is a thoroughly biblical church, unwaveringly committed to Westminster standards, and Dr. Joe Moorcraft is the author of an 8-volume commentary on the larger catechism. Heritage is a member of the Hanover Presbytery, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and tracing its roots and heritage back to the great Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Heritage maintains and follows the biblical truth and principles proclaimed by the Reformers. Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and God's glory alone. Their primary goal is the worship of the triune God that continues in eternity. For more details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. That's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Or call 678-954-7831. That's 678-954-7831. If you visit, tell them Joe Riley, an Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener from Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, sent you.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nestle Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to ptlbiblerebinding.com. That's ptlbiblerebinding.com.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnson has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reformed Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth, Love, Parent, and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth, Love, Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnson is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? to foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written Word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Butterfucco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
And please never forget, folks, that the founder of the Historical Bible Society, the ad that you just heard featuring that fine ministry, the founder of the Historical Bible Society, Dan Butterfucco, a dear friend of mine for decades, going back to 1991, as a matter of fact, he is an accident and personal injury and medical malpractice attorney. And he deals with cases in all 50 states of the United States. It would help Iron Sharpens Iron Radio enormously if either you are the victim of an accident or medical malpractice, or if you know of someone who is, no matter where in the United States they live, to put them into contact with the law firm of Butterfucco and Associates. And here's the essential thing. You've got to mention that you heard about them, or insist that your friends who call him mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio as the source from where they discovered this law firm. So please contact Butterfucco and Associates at 1-800-NOW-HURT, 1-800-NOW-HURT. Mention Chris Arnzett of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. This law firm has been supporting financially Iron Sharpens Iron Radio dating back to 2005 when we first launched on Long Island, New York. And also, even going back further than that, Dan has been sponsoring events like the debates that I've orchestrated with Dr. James R. White, going back to the 1990s. So please, say thanks to Dan Butterfucco by putting him in contact with people who really need his law firm. That's 1-800-NOW-HURT, and that is for serious accident and injury cases and medical malpractice cases only. 1-800-NOW-HURT. We are now back with Mac Tomlinson. Mac, before we continue on for some final comments on the temptation of Christ in part one of that discussion, to remind our listeners, we're going to have part two continuing tomorrow. Tell us about the Fellowship Conference of New York that's coming up the 23rd through the 25th of February. If I'm not mistaken, that's a Thursday through Saturday.
Yes, thank you, Chris, for mentioning that. Honestly, I don't have my mind available or the information in front of me, the exact location, the church where the conference is being held.
I have that. That's Grace Reformed Baptist Church of Long Island in Merrick. That was where I was a member before moving to Pennsylvania.
Well, thank you for that. Neither do I have the registration site of
I have that as well. IllBeHonest.com. IllBeHonest.com. That's IllBeHonest.com. And the speakers are my guest, Mac Tomlinson, Kyle White, and Michael Durham. But if you can continue with anything else you want to say.
Yeah, you know, we had the Fellowship Conference in New York there in Long Island several years before 2020 and when COVID came. In fact, we had it in February of 2020.
I was there.
And then the next month, COVID broke out widely. And going in the last 2 years, we weren't able to have it, but it's resuming there. And course, Chris has attended, and it's been a special time of fellowship for pastors and Christians in general, and historically, believers from all five boroughs of the greater New York City area came to Long Island for that time. It's a time of, it's not a large conference. It's but it's rich, and it's several days of biblical preaching, six or seven sessions with morning prayer meetings and with meals together, lunch, at least lunch together, and just wonderful fellowship around the gospel and the things of Christ. So we just encourage you, if you live in the greater New York area or the states surrounding New York, if you could come in for those dates, February 23rd through 25th, please join us. And if you need more information, you can reach out to Chris or myself. And we just would love to see you in Long Island for the Fellowship Conference New York again.
And I'm going to do my best to be there again. I just have to iron some things out in my schedule because I do have some conflicting conferences that I may be attending that I already registered for. So I'm going to see which ones I can move around and that kind of thing. But we'll repeat that information at the close of the program, which is just in a few minutes. But if you could, anybody, by the way, who had been waiting for their question to be asked and answered, we will read those questions to Mac tomorrow. So don't worry about being left out of today's discussion. And if you could conclude with what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners in regard to part one of the temptation and testing of Jesus Christ in the wilderness.
Yeah, I just think it's a greatly neglected area of truth that believers haven't read enough, studied this enough to realize what the temptation experience meant for Christ himself and how that applies to the Christian life, that he had to be tested to qualify to be our Redeemer and our High Priest. But as he was tested as a man and he endured and conquered temptation, the believer can overcome temptation in the Christian life. And we'll get into that more tomorrow. But I would just encourage believers to study this area of truth more in the future because it's very profitable to the Christian life.
Amen. And this is just more reasons why Christ was stamped kosher. He was the spotless lamb stamped kosher for the sacrifice, because it further proved that he was perfectly obedient, perfectly sinless, perfectly righteous, and the only worthy substitute for us on Calvary's cross. And so I hope that you all tune in tomorrow for part two of this very important discussion. And once again, if you want any more information about the Fellowship Conference New York, where Mac is one of three speakers. Mac Tomlinson will also be joined by Kyle White and Michael Durham. We've already interviewed Kyle recently to promote this event, and we plan on interviewing, God willing, Michael Durham before the event as well. But go to illbehonest.com. That's I-L-L, be honest. And remember, in a website URL, there's no apostrophe in the aisle. So it's illbehonest.com. If you want any more information about Mac Tomlinson's church, where he is the pastor, that is Providence Chapel in Denton, Texas, go to providencedenton.org, providencedenton.org. I want to thank you once again, Mac, for doing such a superb job. You have whet my appetite for tomorrow's interview with you. I'm very excited about it, and I'm sure our listeners are as well. And so make sure you tune in, folks, tomorrow. Set your alarms, put a note on your calendar, put a sticky note on your refrigerator, whatever the case may be that you use to remind yourself, to tell Alexa to remind you. Thank you to everyone who sent in questions today. That's also one of the things that makes Iron Sharpens Iron Radio a more fascinating program to me, is hearing your input, because many times you think of questions that never occur to me, so I thank you for that. And I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.